Oh, now we're live. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin, and DK, of course, with the fresh cut in the background.
Looking clean as a whistle.
That's right. Looking good, dude. Yeah, we're here tonight on a Friday night, as we have been, and I think as of now, we most likely will continue to be, you know, in order to make your Thursday night viewing of the NFL, on Amazon, of course, your NFL Thursday night game easier to view. We're here for you on Friday night to break down and preview the Ravens matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. Man, I'm excited to talk about it. Glenn, how you doing on Friday, though?
I'm doing well, hoping the Orioles can get off their little three-game slide here, but absolutely excited. This is a big, big week. I know it's early, but you got an opportunity to put the Bengals into 0-2 hole at home in the division. I mean, it's to go 0-2 this early in your own division is not a good start. So I'm hopeful, even though this is certainly going to be a tough task, that the Ravens can get it done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you anymore. This is an especially, just like you said, based on the way their schedule is broken out, this would equate to them being 0-3 in a lot of ways. So let's go out there and do it. And I also am enjoying the fact that very little pundits are picking the Ravens to win this game. So it makes it even more exciting. I am going to change my headphone to the proper headphone. Apparently it's not the right one.
How are you hearing me then?
Because I got my, what's happening here? Ah, here we go. I got my headphone in, like in my headset, in my microphone. I mean, not my microphone, my headphones. Here we go. I'm about to sound way better. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let me hear it. Hello.
Hold on. You don't sound much better. I mean, a little.
Here we go.
Yeah, there it is.
Yes. Money.
Turn the gain up just a tad. Just a tad.
No one, though. That's the thing. How about that?
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Sorry, boys. Apologize. Rookie mistake.
I mean, it's becoming a regular here.
I know. It's like you and the light, dude.
That's done, dude. That light.
You take that sucker,
dude. Duct tape, baby.
Done with it.
All right, let's get right into where we usually start, and that is, of course, the injury report.
Yeah.
So let's go over this because, I mean, it's admittedly, it's pretty brutal on our side. I mean, you'd like to see an injury report that either has no names or it has a bunch of names that you don't expect to be big-time contributors, but every single name, unfortunately, on the Ravens injury report are pretty big-time contributors. But let's go through it. Mark Andrews gets in a full practice on Friday, Jimbo, after limited sessions on Wednesday and Thursday. Questionable game status. What's your early predictions on whether he'll suit up?
Oh, Mark is playing this game. I was actually pretty shocked that he didn't play week one. But there's no way he's missing this game. Having only missed two games in his career, you think he's going to miss the opportunity to go out there and potentially put the Bengals down 0-2 against a heated division rival, a division rival who we all know runs their mouths.
And their fan base does. And,
oh, my goodness. Yeah. So I'm certainly riding with Mark here. I think he goes out there and plays. I don't think there's any way he sits out. You?
No, not with a full practice session on Friday. I think he's going to be good to go, and hopefully no setbacks if he is out there. And then no surprise here, Marlon Humphrey remains out with the foot injury. So I guess any hopes of him suiting up are pretty much done and gone. Same can be said with Tyler Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley. Both did not, and Marcus Williams, all three did not practice at all this week. So I think it's pretty safe to say those guys are still a couple weeks out. Certainly Marcus Williams may be done for the season. And then those other two look like they're still weeks away. John Simpson, surprised, did not practice on Friday, but turns out it was just a personal issue and not even, it's being described as a positive personal issue. So I'm not sure what that means, but
maybe or something like that.
Okay. That would be certainly qualify. Okay. So yeah, something to that nature where it was a personal issue, but not a negative personal.
Right. Cause issue I, still. You know, the other one I think of is like marriage, but like, I don't think you'd plan your marriage on a Friday in season. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Babies, you know, it's a little less.
Can't plan that one too much. Right.
A little less, you know, a little less able to plan. But, you know, the good thing is we're losing two starters on the offensive line, but we're not losing a third in John Simpson, it looks like.
Yeah. And I'll say we're losing. This is no knock on Ronnie. I'll say we're losing 1.5.
Okay.
Because McCary, I think on a lot of teams might make the starting lineup. Maybe not as a left tackle, but somewhere in those five, I think McCary might be a starter for I'd say at least half NFL teams out there. Okay. So right. I trust like him.
He's got right. a lot of the clock. Yeah. I mean, he certainly. It's like you always say, man. He just finds a way. Dude. Finds a way. But let's go over some of what the Bengals have going on. It looks like their top cornerback, Chidobe Awuzie, got in a limited session on Friday, but apparently not injury related, so he's going to be good to go. Joe Burrow looks like he's fully recovered from the calf injury. Not sure why he's even listed when he got in full sessions. Safety Dax Hill, again, full sessions. Not sure why he's listed. Looks like he'll be playing. Cam Sample, a bit of a name there.
Yeah,
didn't participate Wednesday. Did so in a limited fashion Thursday and back to full on Friday. So it looks like he'll be able to play. And then, you know, Logan Wilson, that would be a big, big loss. But mm-hmm. looks like they're not going to have to worry about that. He practiced all week, even though Wednesday was limited. So it certainly looks like they're going to be about as healthy as you could possibly be at week two of an NFL season. And the Ravens can't say the same.
Yeah, but the one thing I will say with Logan Wilson is that you better believe Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews are going to test that ankle, right? Like,
yeah, buddy.
In that, like, Lamar, you know what I mean? There's going to be situations where Logan Wilson is going to be asked to tackle Lamar, at least be the first guy there. Mm-hmm. And the same thing if Logan has to play in coverage against Lamar or even any of the backs for that matter. Yeah, right. So, you know, I don't mind if they're healthy. I don't fear them, right? But certainly that is something that at least comes to my mind, and it will be interesting to see how that plays out in the game.
Yeah, no doubt. But so they're a healthier team. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah, they are. But Ravens O's Nation says, guys, I'm going to be honest. I'm not feeling very confident in this game. I'm depending on you guys to get my hopes up. Go Ravens. Well, look, you came to the right place.
That's right.
We're going to get into all of this, but
yeah, these kitty cats.
That's right. Need not fear. And
they were healthy last week when they put up 3.
And let's also not forget that McDonald seems to have their number. Glenn, you've talked about this pretty eloquently, right? That does a really good job at keeping the top on, like keeping the cork mm-hmm. on this team, right? And when you can take that away, and we'll break this down more, and you can make Joe sit back there a little longer, usually bad things happen for the Bengals.
Yep.
So I don't think that's going to change. I think big plays are still going to be hard to come by, in my mm-hmm. opinion, in this game. Health, unrelated, right? I think that McDonald has this thing down. Not that they're not going to throw new wrinkles in there or make it difficult. They got incredible playmakers on the outside. But if we can tackle soundly, I think that we're always going to be in this game. So don't worry, Ravens O's Nation.
Maybe a little foreshadowing to a key to the game there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. Tori says, I'd like to see you guys collaborate with Kevin Ostreicher if you have not already. Always appreciate the great content, boys. I think we've had Kevin on once, right?
We have. I think once or twice. Maybe only once.
Yeah, at least once, maybe twice. Yeah. But yeah, Kevin does a great job. Hear him all the time. And yeah, I'm sure we'll have him on again. No doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we'll
appreciate
put in
though,
a word
Tori.
For you. Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate the compliment at the end there as well. Thank you. But yeah, let's get into some more of this matchup here, Jimbo.
All right, DK, actually, do we want to do this one, or are we going to hold on to it to talk about the offense?
We can do it.
All right, let's do it. Go ahead, Glenn.
All right, Tom Votto says, and shout to Tom, friend of the show. Guys, do you foresee a lot of quick slant screens, wide receiver screens, jet sweeps, etc.? Basically, Lamar getting the ball out quicker since the O-line is banged up. We talk about foreshadowing.
Jeez, a whiz. I think we went through all of our keys to
the game
already.
Absolutely got to get the ball out. I do not want to see, and I don't think it's possible for Lamar to be sitting back there snapping his head left and right again, because it's a pretty talented pass rush group going up against a banged up offensive line. So absolutely, but you got to remember that's what the Bengals are going to be expecting. So expect them to cover, you know, the short throws, cover the flats. You know, they're not going to just lay down and let you get off quick throws. So it's still going to be, you know, take work for the Ravens to get those short yardage and quick throws open.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll say too is, you know, to your point, I just want to see Lamar be the boring point guard. Like, dude, just run the play. You know what I mean? Like, Not that Lamar's not doing that, but that would bring me so much joy. While other teams, like while guys, other, it's so funny because other teams, other players, excuse me, that play quarterback do that because that's all they can do, right? Where like Lamar has this tendency to think every play can be a home run. And so like, it's like, you want to take the opposite approach. Like, all right, man, no ego, amigo here. Like, let's just make the play, make the read, make the play. Let's move on to the next one. You know, that's, that's what I want to see. So yeah, Tom, I'm hoping for a lot of that stuff because we've seen, we got the wheels to get it done. Lamar doesn't need to do it on his own.
And that, look, this is not like a just a Lamar Jackson problem. No, I mean, this is look everywhere. I mean, look, Joe Burrow was 14 of 31 for 82 yards, and primarily because the Browns are going to use a similar method that the Ravens, I think, are going to do, and that's just taking away the big play and making you settle for the dump down. And a lot of these young quarterbacks that are used to making big splash plays, it's not so easy to just check it down, even though that is the right play. You know, it feels like almost like a loss to them. Like, yeah, it feels like almost they're like submitting to the defense. Okay, I'll take what you're giving me and not what I really want, which is over there.
Yep.
So it's tough for all young quarterbacks, especially ones that have had big time success in the league.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a difficult, I mean, look, and the only reason Mahomes gets away with it, we already know why. Right, the refs will never call holding on this offensive line. I mean, come on, dude. How are you, Orlando Brown Jr.? He probably had like three holding penalties last year. The dude doesn't even move. He just holds you. And Pat Mahomes holding the ball for 8 seconds. I was picking my nose and flossing my teeth by the time he throws the ball.
Man, dude. Look, Pat Mahomes has nothing to do with this preview. And somehow Jimmy finds a way to get a couple shots in on him, dude.
But I have no problems with Pat. Like, I don't have a disdain.
You don't like him at all.
No, I don't have a disdain towards him like I do Brady. Like, that's a whole different thing, right? I don't mind Pat. What I'm saying is that he gets the treatment. It's stupid. Like, you run 500 yards in a game horizontally, and there's one holding penalty? Come on. Really?
Yeah, he does get the star treatment. I mean, I don't think he's the only one who gets that treatment, but we certainly see him often. I want to get into some of the stats of last game. I mean, I know we can talk about last season, but
To
me, every year is a new year, so we're going to talk about what happened in that first game. It was, now admittedly, bad weather. You know, both offenses struggled to some degree because the weather was really poor. And so when you look at, let's see, we're going to be talking about the Bengals defense here. So when you look at what the Browns were able to do offensively, Deshaun Watson, 154 yards, had one touchdown, one pick, just over 50% completion percentage. You know, again, rain did not help things, but you know, I think you can't just go out there and expect to throw the ball all over this Cincinnati defense because of the fact that, yeah, they're young in their safeties, but they got that pass rush that's going to still harass you. So I think what you have to do is move the ball on the ground. And they did that with Nick Chubb, 18 carries, 106 yards. Deshaun Watson chipped in with 5 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. Are you hearing this, Lamar? Deshaun Watson had 5 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, I think that's the area where the Ravens can really make headway here is they got to establish the ground game like the Browns did and really just control the clock, control the line of scrimmage. And even if it comes down to playing field position, we're going to get into the Bengals offense, but they struggled mightily in week one. So, I think that the ground game is looking like an area where I think the Ravens can take advantage of them.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on this one, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do offensively on the ground. I just want to, you know, in addition to that, I think there's a couple things to point out, but Glenn, I'm getting anxious here. Okay, my boss gives me a hard time because I'm a very eager person. All right.
Okay.
What are you
getting anxious about?
I want to talk about our offense, you know, a little bit more, and I want to get right into my key to the game.
Get into it. Let's hear it.
All right, cool. So I just kind of talked about it, so I'm kind of gave it away a little bit, but once again, I mean, I think my key to the game is simply just like I think it was Tom Votto said, like just get the ball out early, play simple, smart football, and let's have some trust in our playmakers to get the job done. Now, this is the only thing I'll say. I think this is a key to the game, but I also think it's very likely to happen this game more than the last game because I think Lamar Jackson is going to get that thing to Mark Andrews like 6-8 times. I think Mark gets a ton of play this game. I think he gets some early stuff this game, some drop back. You know, him and Lamar can do this roll out of bed in their sleep type stuff. And I think that'll definitely help facilitate Lamar getting in a bit of a rhythm and them playing with that rhythm that Monken has been talking about. And you saw him trying to do a couple times in week one. They had some misalignments, had some penalties and stuff like that. But I think Mark is a little bit of the missing piece and a bit of the straw that stirs the cup there. And I think that's really going to help out. So I'm so looking forward, because all people have been talking about is injuries. I'm so looking forward to seeing what this offense can do, because the improvement from week one to week two is going to be vast, in my opinion. Ronnie down, sure. Linderbaum down, sure. But Lamar getting comfortable in this offense and his weapons getting comfortable in this offense, I think there's going to be a noticeable change between week one and week two. Let's remember, week one was first time live for these guys.
Yep.
Outside of really Zay Flowers, that was it. So that's my key to the game. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I hope to see some of the same. I don't want to see Lamar holding the ball and, you know, looking around for pass rushers coming his way. So I hope you're right. I hope the ball's out quick. And who knows? I mean, maybe Mark Andrews. I mean, we knew he was a big piece, but we thought with the added weapons, they could absorb even Mark Andrews missing a game or so. But maybe he's just that important to Lamar Jackson, this offense, that he'll be the kind of the key that unlocks it. But
well, he certainly, I mean, they went through week one without him.
Mm-hmm.
It was the
Texas. 1-15.
Right. Still an NFL team and a solid defense.
Or 16, yeah.
16, right? Yep. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. I think Mark was sorely missed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one thing with their defense, we talked about it. They got some pass rushers. They got Trey Hendrickson. Yep. They got Sam Hubbard. But also, they got the big sloppy. DJ Reader is an absolute monster over the nose. Mm-hmm. And then they got a good front seven, you know, cleaning it up in the back is Logan Wilson, who will run you down and bring you to the ground. So I'm a little concerned about the Ravens' offensive line, seeing as though they didn't necessarily play well with the starters in last week. And now you take, you know, arguably their two best linemen off the offensive line and replace them with obviously lesser talent.
Mm-hmm.
And what has me concerned is, look, DJ Reader is a horse for Linderbaum. So now you're taking Linderbaum out of the equation, and I'm starting to get a little concerned. Then you got Hendrickson. It's like, yeah, I trust McCary, but he's light in the tuchus. And Hendrickson's going to put that bull rush on him and throw his ass right into Lamar Jackson if he can. So I'm just concerned with the style of rushers that are coming in. You know, you got a big boy in the middle who makes me a little worried, and then you got bull rushers on the outside. So I think getting the ball out is great, but also my key to the game is you got to handle the blitz. We saw it again last week.
Yep.
They brought the blitz, and it did not end well for the Ravens. And we saw it all last year. So I don't want this to become a theme here where in big situations, third down, red zone, they pin their ears back, they bring it, they single up on the outside, and we can't make them pay for it. And it's not just on the offensive line. It's not just on Lamar. It's not just on the receiver. I mean, it's a group thing. Like, receivers, you got to know you're hot. You got to see that blitz coming, and you got to know you're hot. Your hot route. I mean, these receivers in the NFL are asked to do a lot more. You know, you're not just, okay, this is my route and that's all it is, and this is what I do. It's impacted by the defense. If you're the guy who has to run the hot route, you got to know it's there, because you run your 10-yard out, Lamar ain't going to have time for the 10-yard out. So
he's already smashed in the face. I mean, it's too late for that.
Exactly. So I need to see that this team can not only have the rhythm and you know, that Todd Monken talked about, but also be able to handle the blitz. It's been plaguing them for years, and it needs to stop. Years. And I expect to see it this weekend and certainly in key situations.
How much do you think, I mean, you know, just why it was funny. I watched the super condensed version of the Bengals Browns game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all I saw on the screen was Joe Burrow getting sacked and Nick Chubb running wild. Yeah. Like, that's all it felt like it was. Like, oh my gosh, is this on repeat, right? So when it comes to that, your key to the game, in your opinion, where does the run game equate into this, right? Into slowing down the blitz, the impact of the blitz, right? Because we don't have JK. The running style is, there's noticeably differences to it, but there were certainly plays where you saw J.K. break, you saw Gus break, and you even saw Justice break, right? So where do you think the responsibility and the impact of the run game lies in order for the Ravens to really, you know, just like you said, for your key to the game, handle the blitz, handle it well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think the run game does. It does a lot. Not only, you know, does it make guys pause a second? They can't just tear up field. It makes them, you know, make sure they have their gap integrity and they're not, you know, going so far upfield, they're leaving a wide open hole behind them for the running back. But I think what it does mainly, Jimbo, is it keeps them ahead of the sticks. Like it keeps them in third and short or no third down at all. And that just because now the defense, all right, it's third and one. Ravens certainly could run the ball in third and one. So you're not selling it. Third and two. Ravens have shown it. They will run the ball in third and two. So I think the big thing it does is just keeps you out of third and long, keeps you in that third and manageable range where the defense can't just sell out for the blitz and can't just predict completely that you're going to be passing the ball. So I think that's the biggest thing. But
are you telling me we're going to get a dose of Gus Edwards this week? Dude. Stay ahead of the sticks?
Look, I think Justice Hill is a good fit for this offense. I like to see he got two tutties. I predict the Gus Edwards show this weekend.
Yeah.
Just because I think you need to run the ball. I mean, also what running the ball is going to do, I mean, Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard are going to get a little tired if you keep leaning on them.
Hands
you
know? On their hips and sucking air.
You keep running at them. So I think it just does so much a good run game. I mean, it'll wear them down. You're not going to be seeing them bursting off the snap if they're exhausted because they just got, you know, had tackles and guards leaning on them for the last eight plays. So I think run game is ultra, ultra important in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And staying ahead of the sticks, you're absolutely right.
And then my breakout player.
Talk to me about it.
And then I'll let you get in yours.
Yeah.
Look, I'll be honest, Jimbo. I took the easy way out, okay? I mean, I took...
It is, but it isn't. I still think you're out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to go against someone who got a clear bulk of the targets. And look, Todd Monken was asked about, was that part of the plan going in? Was that just kind of how the game went? And he didn't really seem to want to answer that. But if I'm reading between the lines, Jimbo, I think this was the plan all along. I think they know what they got in Zay Flowers. This guy is just different. When he runs routes, he just gets more. He got more separation. I believe I read the stat. I was trying to find it while we were doing the show. He got more separation than even Tyreek Hill did this week as far as average route separation, something crazy. That's insane. I mean, this guy, so I expect him to continue to get looks and continue to get schemed open plays and let him do what he does. Get him the ball, like you said, get it out quick. Get him the ball because he'll get a whole lot of yards with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I like it, Glenn, but I still think it's fair to say that it isn't, you know, it's not a safe pick only because he's still a rookie, right? He's only game two. So you're still out there, but I agree with you in that he makes it look too easy. Now there's another guy that I'm picking that somehow always finds his way, especially when Lamar scrambles, to be open and wide open. And it's funny to me, I'm not giving away any secrets here. Mark Andrews, he always does the same thing when Lamar scrambles. In my opinion, he heads right up the field. He just breaks off and right up the field. And for some reason, people just can't seem to pick it up. And it's like, dude, you know, he's so headed poor. North.
Do I go get Lamar or do I run with Mark?
Yeah. So, that's a tough predicament to be in. You're losing either way, buddy.
That's right.
But my breakout player is Mark Andrews. I'm going to give you some specifics here. He's going 100+. He's going six and a half. Take the over on the receptions. Dang. And two touchdowns in this game. Yeah. That's right. He's going to go ham out there. So I cannot wait to see Mark back spiking the life out of that football after he scores a touchdown. He's my breakout offensive player of the game.
I like it. I got one more offensive question after we finish up with Tom's comment here. He says, guys, how do you feel about using Pat Ricard, getting more time in the backfield and lined up on the line as a tight end for some additional help with blocking? I mean, absolutely, Tom. We saw that in the second half of the game after the injuries to the offensive line. He got a huge uptick in snaps, and he did well. I mean, he's the only tight end on the team that can block with any significance. So he is – I mean, I think if you look at his snap count, going forward until the offensive line shows something, whether it's, you know, the health, you know, the guys come back and start playing. we're going to see a lot of Pat Ricard.
Yeah.
It may not touch the ball a lot, but he'll certainly be on the field.
You don't think he's going to be lined up more than once next to McCarry? You better believe it.
Oh, absolutely. And look, we're going to help with everybody. I love to see from Todd Monken, we always used to see him just load the field with tight ends when he needed help blocking. Well, he had Rashad Bateman chipping on before he went out on a route. He had OBJ come slanting down and absolutely wrecking people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like, look, I'm going to ask you guys to block because I don't want to load the field with tight ends. I want to keep you guys out there. So you're going to have to help out and get your hands dirty. And I think those guys embrace that.
Yeah. And also say this, Rashad Bateman could be a low key breakout, like a dark horse breakout player in this game, because this is the thing he's got, and he's healthy, but like I said it at the end of our post game, man, he makes you forget how much time he's missed. Cause he's just such a smooth operator on the field. He's got great hands. He's got great extension, great body control. So look for him to make another leap this game, right? He really didn't have an off season. So he's still ramping, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think he was his safety blanket last week when Mark wasn't there. To me, he was his safety blanket. He went to him in the most big, in big moments when he was scrambling. You know, yeah, the quick plays seemed to go to Zay, but when shit broke down, he was looking for Bateman. And actually, funny enough, I typed out Bateman.
Did you?
Erased it and put Flowers. That's how. So I agree with you. I think he's got a shot to like remind people, oh, I'm still here. Last question I have about the offense, and really, I guess this is an offensive question because they got their handful on defense as well. What do you think the message was from John about penalties this week? And is there anything that the team can do in preparation to minimize?
Oh, well, first of all, I think that any of the reps that they were doing to simulate those plays that caused penalties, they did those times five this week. You can guarantee that John was, I think John is old school in the sense that you rep that sucker out and you rep it and you rep it and you rep it over and over and over again, right? There's nothing like repping it out, you know? And so I think that certainly that changed this week. And I think the message was just similar to a lot of other coaches, like generally in the NFL, the most disciplined team and the last team to beat themselves wins the game. Let's not beat ourselves. Let's not beat ourselves. And then I'm sure there was some input from one Todd Monken on the misalignments and things like that as well. I think that John drilled this one home. I think we'll see because of that, the emphasis on it, and then obviously it being another week in real football, I think we see a significant drop. It's not characteristic of a John Harbaugh led football team. I think there've been some years that have been bad, but like overall as his tenure, we're not the Raiders. Right. So I wouldn't expect it to be as bad as last week.
Yeah. And one thing to keep in mind, there's already been, you might laugh at me for this, but there's already been some improvement in that area. If you look at the first half, they had 8 penalties. In the second half, they only had 5. So
there you go.
They're already trending in the right direction. Maybe in the first half, they'll have 3, and then the second, they'll have 1. They'll just keep kind of going downward, But all right, let's get into the other side of the football. Let's get into Bengals offense versus the Ravens defense. So let's see here. In week one, the Ravens allowed, let's see here, they allowed 18.
All right, okay. You got that? No, go ahead.
They allowed 18 first downs to the Houston Texans. They allowed the Texans to convert third down at an efficiency of 7 for 18. Let's see. They went 1 for 4 on fourth down. They had 268 total yards. Hard to believe they actually outgained the Ravens despite losing by 16. Let's see. They had 196 yards passing, 72 yards on the ground. Had 9 penalties themselves, that's an ugly game. Maybe that explains some of it. But, yeah, obviously not the best game for the Texans, but also pretty high expectations for the Ravens. But I still consider, you give up 9 points anytime in a football game in the NFL, I think that's a win. And so while they didn't, I'm sure they'll say they had some, they get like to get some plays back. And I think Pat Queen said he wasn't satisfied and all that. But I still think they had a pretty damn good first week.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I think that there are some things that the scary thing is that while you hear guys say, you know, we're not satisfied in this, that, and the other, I truly, based on the talent, objectively speaking, believe there are still things they can improve upon. I think a getting home when they get to the quarterback, keeping your hands on him when you, you know, when you get a chance to take him down. Mm-hmm. I also think that the running on early downs, like I know they only ran for what, like 72 yards, something like that.
Something like that.
But I think that I felt like if you went back to their per run on first down, like their per run average, run whatever, their rushing yards per first down when they did rush, I feel like that was higher than they would have wanted it to be, which sets them up for more favorable scenarios. So I think there's some situations on early downs that the Ravens will continue to improve on. I'm excited about it, man. I'm excited about the development of our D line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I want to point something out about that D line, Jimbo, because I think what's genius is every team is in the nickel or lighter pretty much universally now. Like the days of being in your base 3-4 or 4-3, it's just a thing of the past. So typically you have at least three corners on the field as well as two safeties. So you have five DBs or six if you go to the dime, or more if you go into like a quarter or something. So what the Ravens said was like, look, we're going to be in the dime all the time. So let's not leave ourselves vulnerable to get ran on.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that is we build a monstrous D-line and we get two ridiculous linebackers who can run like crazy and can tackle and take on, you know, in Roquan's case, certainly take on guards, shed, and make the tackle. They made it to where, yeah, we're going to go light, just like every other team, but we're not going to be vulnerable against the run because we just got too many good players and big boys up front who can also absolutely move. So, shout out to the Ravens for building, I think, just an awesome defensive roster.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The roster as a whole looks good, but I'm really excited to see what this D-line can do. I mean, look, Garrett, my gosh, what's his name? Plays for the Browns.
Oh, Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett. There
you're trying to make it his first name. That was the problem.
Yeah, that was the issue. I mean, he did some disrespectful things to that offensive line.
Dude, the dribbling.
Oh my gosh, that was just embarrassing. And
crazy. See if you can find that. Are we allowed to play that clip? Because that clip was absolutely.
I don't know.
Hilarious.
We got a copyright claim. I don't know if either of you guys saw that in our email.
Did we?
Yeah. I don't even know what for. People can get over it.
Would we?
I don't know. Elon Musk apparently needs more money now. Like, what do you?
Dang. Like, but no, pretty boy Suave or Suave. I don't know. We will win this game if we can stop them on third and long. Don't give up big plays. And, you know, the Ravens have done a good job at stopping that. I think we certainly had to have had a frustrated offense last week. Just to quickly kind of piggyback off that comment and talk about what they did last week. Joe Burrow, I mean, absolutely one of his worst games as a pro. 14 of 30, 31, 82 yards. He averaged 2.6 yards, Jimbo. 2.6 per attempt. I mean, that is just so grossly bad. He was sacked twice, no touchdowns, no picks. I mean, it was bad. And then on the ground, Mixon goes 13 carries, 56 yards, averaged just over 4 a carry. Let's see. Receiving, Jamar Chase, 5 catches, just 39 yards. Averaged 7.8 yards per catch. And then their second leading scorer was Joe Mixon with 3. I mean, T. Higgins had 0 catches on 8 targets.
Mm.
I know you would never be able to just come off the top of your head, but I can't remember a game where a guy had more targets and had no catches.
I'll give you one. I bet you Evan Engram has had a game like that.
No, that's true. You had him on your fantasy team, didn't you? Scar tissue, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Or like, so he'll have 8 targets, 2 catches, 2 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying 8 targets, 0 grabs.
Yeah, it's brutal.
That's a heck of a long day. I mean, they had a really, really bad start to the year. So I'm certainly expecting them to, you know, want to bounce back, but
oh, definitely.
Look, this Ravens defense ain't scared of nobody. Yeah. Nobody
down. Let's put our foot on their throats, right? Like everyone keeps talking about the desperation with which the Bengals are going to play, and the Ravens should be concerned, and they're going to be all hyped, and everyone should be nervous about, you know, their receivers being upset because they had bad games and things like that. But what about the positive momentum and the power behind that? Zay being validated as a pro, Rashad Bateman coming back from injury and playing relatively well. Mark Andrews, coming off of this injury and ready to get out there and prove himself. OBJ just scratching the surface in his return. Lamar out there to validate others. And then this defense is absolutely trying to prove itself as the most smothering defense in the NFL, even with, you know, a guy like Marcus Williams going down. So there's a lot of positivity in the Ravens' direction, which can be, you know, just as powerful as a motivator. All right, DK, let's see this clip here. This might be the most disrespectful thing done in the NFL this year.
I mean, look, we don't have a Myles Garrett, but I got to imagine that we can take advantage of some of these boys up front. Yeah, look at this. Come on. This dude is pretending to dribble a basketball and then
puts the crossover on him. Right here. Let's look. Ready? Ready? Here it comes. Here it comes.
That's not good. I mean, not good for their center. So I imagine.
Maybe they throw Clowney in there.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want to see Madubuike in there. The way he looked last week, I want to see him, ripping against that center that you can see Myles Garrett absolutely sunning. I mean, hey, Adit, appreciate the update. Heston Kerstead, gosh, first career hit was a homer.
Ooh, nice. Wait, so what does that make the score?
Yeah, I don't know the score. I think it's on, like, Peacock or some. Oh, I get so frustrated with this. It's not on TV tonight. Jimbo, you know I don't have a smart TV in here. I just got a regular TV in here.
Regular old TV, huh?
Regular old cable. I can't put on any. Makes me crazy.
Imagine how anybody over the age of 50 feels if you're frustrated.
Yeah, it's true. Got to be. And all the good games, by the way, Orioles. I'm talking to you. Father's Day. It was Memorial Day. All like the big day. All on streaming services. Disrespectful. Yeah, well,
Thank the Angelos, man.
Well, Father's Day? Can't watch your O's when you pay for the check? Oh, my goodness.
It's 7-1. DK just gave us an update. 7-1 raise.
Dang, maybe that's why Adit didn't give us the score update. You know what? Next time, lie to us, DK. I don't want to hear that. Lie to me. All right, let's get into our keys to the game here, Jimbo. Yes. I've been saying it this whole time. It's prevent the big play. I mean, this is kind of the running theme when you play the Bengals. They can't just traditionally, like, they're not just going to line up and beat us with the ground game and Joe Mixon. It's just not going to happen. They lost their best running back last year when Samaje Perine went to Denver.
To that, let me ask you a question, Glenn. You wrote that. I see in players to watch, of course, Chase, Higgins, Boyd.
I almost didn't put him in there, dude.
Can I ask you how much fear you actually have of Joe Mixon? Because I have none.
I almost didn't have him on there. I really didn't. And then I was like, I got to put him on there because he's such a focal point.
I'm
but
more
really
concerned
no
that Joe Mixon would see me in real life and break my jaw than he would beat the Ravens this week.
Well, I mean, look, I think you could outrun him at this point. I mean, certainly in long distance.
Yeah, if you give me 10 yards, I don't think he's going to catch. You know what I mean? I think it's enough distance to where I can just
outlast
him.
And then he's
going
to start to get tired, dude. You're built for distance.
Yeah, exactly. You give me 10 yards of space, you know?
And you can boogie a little bit, dude.
Yeah,
don't
that's what I'm saying.
Short.
And, you know, that first quarter of a mile, I'll just do enough to keep him off my – and then after that, it's like, forget
it. It's over. It's pulling away time. But, no, I think Joe Mixon –
kicking it in gear.
That's right. Joe Mixon took a pay cut for a reason this year. And I think they're missing Samaje. I think they'll continue to miss Samaje. I think it was a heck of a signing by the Broncos, who I think are going to ultimately end up leaning on him. But – getting back to these guys, Irv Smith, you know, I think he's in for maybe you got to watch him. I think he's in for a sneaky game because he's such a good athlete and there's so many weapons around him that you worry he might get kind of lost in the shuffle. But obviously the big guys you got to watch out for, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins,
of course,
and Tyler Boyd. And look, we just talked about it. T. Higgins, eight attempts or eight targets, zero catches. So he is looking to bounce back. I'm sure he'll be on the sideline like A.J. Brown was last night, like this on Hurts because he didn't get the ball enough. He'll be there this week if he doesn't get, you know, a couple catches from Joey B. But just prevent the big one. If they make the catch, come up, make the tackle, live to fight another play, and make Joey nickel and dime you because I don't think he can.
Yeah. The other thing I just want to randomly mention before we get back to the Ravens is DK mentioned it in our chat. Adam Jones, of course, officially retires tonight as an Oriole.
Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Legend.
Pretty awesome. That's right. But
and he threw the first pitch to Nick Markakis. I love to see that.
That is cool, man. Legend. My mom really loved that squad.
Dude.
Like, that was a fun squad. When you had
so much fun.
Yeah, those guys and Scope and Manny.
Dude, Chris Davis was hitting bombs that year, bro. Bombs!
Before he got the yips. Just the absolute
man. I don't know yippies. What the hell happened to that guy. It's either DeMonstar who stole his powers, bro. Put it in a basketball somewhere. I think they put in a bat and Otani touched that shit.
That's right. Poor guy. Crazy. Well, you know, he's living.
He was there
fine.
Today, by the way. He was there in honor of Adam Jones to show love. Chris Davis. I'm sure he flew in a private jet that the Orioles are still paying for.
Yeah, I was gonna say, right, exactly. happy for him, man. But the other thing, so what I'll say about, I agree with you, the big play, and to me, it's not. Do you remember when was it? We lost to them 2 years ago, right? When we lost their first trip to their trip to the Super Bowl, we split with them we split with them in the past 2 years, haven't we?
Yeah, I believe. Was it? I believe so.
But yeah, either way, it was the first game, if I'm not mistaken, where Chase had the short pass and kind of spun out of two defenders and took it to the house. But it wasn't. The reason I'm bringing this up, as painful as it is that the big play isn't always the deep ball, right? You've got to tackle soundly. If you remember last year, that game we went to, Glenn, they were trying the same stuff early on. They were getting that, even that first drive. You remember they hit that, they had two short passes to the right. I don't think both were to Chase, but one was, and they were expecting him to make a move, and Marlon just stuck it to him and ended up getting him out of bounds, right, for the tackle. But that was kind of the end of that. They stomped that out early in the game, right? But we've got to make sure we tackle soundly to avoid the big play. It's not always going to come in the form of this bomb, right? But it's definitely it can. But I also think the quick stuff, Chase is so quick. He's big. He's powerful. We got to get him on the ground. So I think that's going to be crucial. But my key to the game defensively is going to be, I mentioned this before, give Joey cause to pause, like Stephen A. Smith likes to say. Let him sit back there. I've heard Joey, of course, after their Super Bowl year and laughing at the fact that he put up, what, like almost 500 on us on guys that were bagging, you know, groceries a week before. Good for you, front runner, buddy.
Good for you.
Yeah, like what does that prove? I mean, if you're that – anyway. I'll tell you what, Tom Brady wouldn't do that on a podcast. Tom Brady's classier than that. And that, look, you know, I don't like Tom.
I know. Hold on. What are you doing here, dude?
Tom would not do that. Well, that's what I'm saying. Look, Glenn, hold on. I got to tell you, just so you know, Pat Mahomes, like, I got an issue with his treatment, right?
Yeah.
But not Pat. Like, I think he's a good dude.
Okay.
There's Tom Brady I just don't like, right?
Okay.
But Joey B.
Oh, dang. We found the new mountaintop. Oh, where's Baker on that mountaintop, bro?
Baker is lower
he's
than
Brady.
He's
not relevant anymore. Is that
why? Yeah, because he's not good.
He's like who
just,
cares?
Okay. You almost start to feel bad for him. You know what I'm saying? Like when he starts high-stepping now with the Bucks, when
he stiff-armed some young cat and told him to get his weight up. Get your weight up!
Oh gosh, poor Baker.
So no, but, Burrow is the top of the mountain.
Dude, and
now.
It's not close.
Dang.
I don't like anything about Joey B.
He's fake swag.
I just can't handle it.
He's a cornball is what he is.
Because so anyway, after that, I was like, all right, this is ridiculous. But I heard him talking about he doesn't care how many sacks he takes because he's always going to sit back there and wait for the big play. Or, I don't care. I'll get sacked again. Whatever. Right. Like, sure. Go ahead. Keep doing it. That's all I got to say. Right. Go ahead and sit back there.
Get beat up.
That's right. Get yourself beat up. And hopefully you're not the next Andrew Luck, but look, he'll go home with the bag. You talk about Chris Davis.
That's a heck of a first game after your bag too, ain't it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's gotta be a hit to the old ego, but yeah. So for sure, let's do enough to where he can sit back there and maybe my defensive player of the game, Glenn.
Dude, I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Adafe Oweh. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Look, Glenn, I'm going to get as much as I've prophesied on the show and I've told you and others, hang with Jimbo because I know the future. Adafe Owe is going to lead our team in sacks this game.
Okay. I'm glad you said game because I thought you were about to say this year. I was going to dive out of that window right next to me. There's no chance. Okay. No,
but this game, I say 1.5 sacks more than one.
All right. Well, I got to break it to you. You're wrong. Okay. And here's why. Because my breakout player, my player of the game is Jadeveon Clowney. And he will actually lead the team in sacks this game because we're not going to see him missing two gimme of a sack. No, we're going to see him complete the sack because old Joey B, look, I don't care what, you know, yeah, he got a full participation. He's still a little slow on that calf. Mm-hmm. All right. He's still a little.
Is he looking at that Aaron Rodgers reverberation of the calf muscle? Dude. And like, yeah, a little
heart was palpitation, boy. I mean, it has to be because it started as a calf. And look, I'm not hoping, I wish, all I'm saying is it might slow him down. Of course, he should. I mean, I hope he is. I hope the team is. But I think that calf still slows down his mobility just a little bit. I think Clowney gets a couple of sacks. He gets two this game, Jimbo. Two big ones.
Hey, I'm hoping, honestly, based on how hard they worked in the last game, almost you felt bad for those two that Ajabo just comes in and gets it done in one snap.
Slaps the ball right out of the guy's hand.
Yeah, but shout out to Ajabo for recognizing the opportunity he had in front of him. Guy fresh off the bench, cold as ice.
First He's play. Like,
yeah, rips his arms down and goes right after the football. But no, I want either of those guys to really excel in this game because they worked so hard last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, every defensive lineman, you just root for them because they work their ass off for all those plays.
Just to get there.
And sometimes they never even touch them.
Yeah.
They never even touch them.
Yeah. And then sometimes they touch them and it's a penalty. Like, you know. It's like, dude, you can't do any right here. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. My wife says that to me sometimes when I'm angry. She's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't, Jimmy. And I'm like, well, sorry.
I'm mad either way. Dude. I'm gonna remember that, dude. I'm gonna flip it on you one day, dude, and hit you with that. But no, this is a game where look, the kitty cats, the pussy cats, they could be. All right, that was bad. All right, look, they could be out of it after this weekend. I mean, they could be out of it.
Yeah.
Out of it. I mean, look, you said it right. It's like going 0-3. You start off 0-2 in the division, and you lose your opening home game to the team that most are picking to be your biggest competition for the division.
Yeah, no one's talking about the Steelers anymore after week one.
No, that hype train is derailed, Jimbo. I mean,
it's not even like left the station. It's off the tracks.
Yeah, like, I mean, the Ravens had a tough injury first week, but they had tough injuries and they got their asses whipped.
Yeah.
And I think they found out a little something about their quarterback that I don't think they liked. But yeah, they can keep trying to sell us on him all they want. Eli says, which do you feel better about, Ravens O versus Bengals D or Bengals offense versus Ravens D? What might be the difference in the game? T.O., running clock, etc. Do I feel better about the Ravens or the Bengals?
Where do we have the bigger advantage?
I mean, I got to say the Ravens defense. I mean, the way this defense is playing and you look at the way their offense played last week against the Browns and the uncertainty about the offensive line for the Ravens coupled with the pass rush that I expect from the Bengals, certainly feel more confident about the Ravens defense.
That's funny to me because I'm going with the offense because I think Lamar Jackson shows everyone that he's the best player on the field this game.
Yeah, but you're speaking on emotion here, okay?
No, but what but think about it. If whatever unit, but with Bengals offensive defense, Ravens offensive defense, who's the best player of the four units? I think it's Lamar Jackson.
Look, what about Agent Zero, Operator?
Yeah, I think it's Lamar Jackson.
I think Roquan could challenge that.
I agree with you, but I'm still riding with eight.
All right.
And I think he's got to be sitting there looking at Joey. Looking at the contract. I know Lamar does his own thing. Like he doesn't seem to get too into that, but your competitive juices make it impossible not to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think Lamar has an absolute game this week. Maybe I'm trying to manifest this.
Yeah, I know that you got to be kicking yourself because I know you've had Kirk Cousins on the bench.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm keeping him on the bench for a while. I'm faithful.
Right. You know what's great? Did you see that picture I sent you?
No, I didn't.
I sent you a screenshot, which I found incredible. You know, right now, this year, Kirk Cousins, after two games, is on pace for 6,018 passing yards And he's also on pace for 51 touchdowns to just 9 interceptions. And he's also on pace for an 0-17 record. I mean, typical Kirk Cousins fashion, right? Dude, 51 tutties, 9 interceptions, 6,000, which would break the record, 0-17.
I'm just waiting for someone to come knocking with a juicy trade.
Dude, they might come soon because, I mean, this dude's been, you know, especially if you see an injury to a guy.
Yeah.
But you might have to start him, dude, if Lamar doesn't start picking it up. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
He keeps giving all the tutties to our running backs.
I know. Yeah. I'll see how things go this week. But I'm going to try and stay faithful as long as I can. I'm with you. I think that I'm not with you. I disagree. I think the Ravens' biggest advantage is our O against their defense. I also understand what you're saying about our defense as well. They're just so dominant. But yeah. I think that offense is going to show out this game, and I'm looking forward to it, man. Those safeties they got back there. No, I think that Mark is going to have an absolute field day. It's going to be a fun game.
Oh yeah. I cannot wait. I wanted to share this again also because it's about that time, Jimbo, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about who is bringing this next segment to us. We're going to be talking about our competition, but I wanted to quickly just give a shout out to our draft competition winner. I wanted to throw this up here and give you guys an opportunity to see who won his very own shiny, I mean, authentic. I mean, you're talking real deal Zay Flowers jersey. Funny looking yo fly, as he's known here. But shout out our competition winner. Got that in the mail. So just wanted to put that up there. But now it's time for this week's competition, Jimbo.
Let's go. Let's do it. And this competition, of course, this week's competition is brought to you by our partner, BetUS. BetUS is the OG in the game. Of course, everybody and their mom is starting an online betting platform and a place where you can go and because they want your money, Glenn. But BetUS is a partner. They want to make you money.
That's right.
In fact, not only they're matching your first deposit, they're giving you an extra 25% because they're that confident that you're going to enjoy it that much. So use the link in the description that DK has been so gracious enough to put in our description. And go ahead and check out BetUS. Use the link up to $2,500. You'll get 125% match. You get prop bets, in-game bets, season-long bets, over-unders, team bets, individual player bets. All of it is there. Check it out. It's a blast. BetUS, Glenn always says it. Go with what you know. Make some easy money with the Ravens. The Ravens, if I'm not mistaken, are a 3.5-point dog.
I'm taking give that all
me
day.
The point. You know, give me the Ravens.
I'll take 3.5, too. Give me if you want to give them to me.
Right, absolutely. So let's go after it and make yourself some easy money, folks. But, use the link below and support the show. Help us keep the lights on here. Make yourself some money. It's a win-win for everyone. So,
and quickly, also, the easiest and quickest way to help the show, it's free. Just click the like button.
We got
a couple hundred in here watching, and it's the easiest way. You might not think it does a lot, but it certainly does push us out to more people, puts us in the suggestions. So help us out. Hit the like button. But let's get into this week's competition. Now, look, we could review the scoreboard, but I don't think that's really important because I think what we have to do is look forward
sunglasses down here
to this week's competition and not dwell on what's happened in the past. So
that's fine. I mean, the scoreboard does it for itself. So why rehash?
Further ado, let's get into the first. And by the way, if you guys want to participate, as always, the way you can do it is simply sending us your over-under predictions and your tiebreakers on any of the social media accounts you see listed above my head. Just simply send us a DM with your answers. Make sure you get them in before the game. Or if you're seeing this after the live is over, you could put it in the comments section below. Just make sure you do not edit the comment after. If you make a mistake, erase it and put a new comment, because if we see edit, we're going to not know. It won't tell us when that edit happened, and we're going to have to assume that it was after the game started.
Because naturally, if you try and submit one after 1:00 Eastern on Sunday, it will not count.
That's right. And I think DK mentioned it last time. We didn't get a chance to mention in our Tuesday show. We mistakenly did not mention in our Tuesday show who won last week, even though we did put it out on Twitter. We announced the winner on Twitter. But in case
Facebook,
that person,
Instagram, all those places, I think.
Okay. And in case that person didn't see it there, I know we wanted to give an opportunity to show that, but
DK is going to throw that up here in a second. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's see it. Here we David go. Cutsale on Facebook. Shout out.
Oh, my man. Dave. That's
I know
right.
this guy's. Him and his brother have a bit of a dynasty going?
I think it was him and his girlfriend. I think it's him and his girlfriend have won before both, if I remember correctly. Girlfriend, wife, I'm not sure. Significant other.
Significant other.
Is the best way to put it. But yeah, shout out to Dave, man.
Hey,
he's like DK over here. So is that hoodie time?
Is it straight to the hoodie?
I'm pretty sure he's advanced past t-shirt status.
Hoodie time, dude. Dave. All right, well, just make sure. I guess we can look in the old stuff and see your size and just let us know that you see this
changed.
Yeah, and if your address has changed or anything, please let us know.
If you put on a put on a couple of lbs, need an extra size up, let us know, dude. No shame. Yeah, it happens. Yeah, you know, I bought my own snowball machine. Okay, stuff got out of control.
Oh gosh, you have the marshmallow and everything,
dude. I got the mallow, bro.
Oh my goodness,
I got it all, and I got like 12 flavors, dude. All right,
Don't check Glenn's sugar, blood sugar. What
don't
is it?
Do yeah. it. It's just gonna say egg custard on the test.
Just sweating egg custard.
Won't even give you a count. It'll just say Skylight. That's underrated flavor.
Imagine,
by the way.
Glenn setting a pick in a backyard basketball game. You're like, man, what smells like Skylight? It's just Glenn sweating blue. Dude, just...
I got bees following me. You know the bees at the snowball stand, bro. Dude, you gotta watch out.
Advantageous sons of guns, dude.
Yeah, man. They like it. All right, let's get into the competition here. Start with our first over-under. It's a offensive over-under. And it is rushing touchdowns for this Ravens offense. He puts the over-under at 2.5. Mm-hmm. Last week, the Ravens had 3 on the ground. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jimbo?
Under. That is going to change this week. I'd be surprised if it's 2, but I already said Mark's getting 2, and he ain't rushing the ball. So,
That's true. Know, well, he has taken a carry in his career, so maybe he'll take a quick little
But I don't see it happening. No, I think the Greg Roman, Mark Andrews carries are over. Get that out.
Yeah, honestly, so. I think this would have been more tempting if it was at 1.5. 1.5, yeah, I might have said more, but I'm going to go under as well. I think 3 is pretty high for this offense. I think 2, I think, is still a pretty good day. So I'll say under as well.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like DK agrees. So that's a clean sweep. And I'd like to see DK put his he put his answers in right away this week. You know, he didn't want any BSing around. You
he
know,
said, he said you. He's I think he's pointing at you.
I put mine in after DK, of course, because he made the thing. But before Jimbo, they were in midday. All right, I put him in there. All right, let's here we go. Here, let's get to the next one. Bengals sacks. So how many times will the Bengals sack Lamar Jackson? More or less?
I'm disappointed in you too.
Huh?
So what's your answer? I'm disappointed in both of you. Where I win. See, it's just faith.
Can I change it?
No, it's too late.
Why can't I? All right. I'm going to say over, and here's why. They got a hell of a pass rush, and we got a banged up O-line, Jimbo, okay? So I wish I could change it, but since you're saying I can, I'm going to say over.
All right, that's fine. DK said the same thing, and this is where I win, ladies and gentlemen. Lamar Jackson ain't getting sacked 3 times. It's just that simple. Whether Lamar's getting the ball out of his hands earlier, whether it's the run game being better, whether it's an improved offense overall because it's week 2, or whether it's simply offensive linemen in front of him wanting to prove that they have some worth in this league for one game. That can make a difference. Lamar Jackson ain't getting sacked 3.5 times. Under, baby. Not happening. Yep, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know what you saw in that first game that gave you this kind of confidence.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that. And I saw an offensive line, you know, and a quarterback and some receivers that had some work to do as far as eliminating these sacks. I think it was a team effort.
Yep.
And
so he got sacked 4 times
last
week.
In my home.
You don't think he got sacked 4 times last week? You don't think there can be a 25% improvement? 25% improvement, I win.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think has the better pass rush? Houston or Cincy?
Sure.
And who's offensive line was better? Week one Ravens or week two Ravens?
Yet to be determined.
Come on.
You think Linderbaum
is better than Mustafa.
That's true. That is true. However, didn't you say that McCary graded out better than Ronnie Stanley?
He did, but Justin Fields graded out better than Jordan Love last week.
So what am I supposed to believe? Only my own eyes? If it's only my own eyes, I believe this team easily improves by 25% regardless of who they're playing. It ain't happening. Book it.
Okay. All right. I hope I'm wrong. No, actually, I hope I'm right, but I hope we still win. Because nice. I like to be right.
At least you're honest.
I can't lie. You know, who doesn't like to be right? All right, let's move on to the defensive side. Yeah, let's do it.
I got this one here. Over under for defense. Bengals turnovers, 1.5. Last week, they had 0. I'll start here. I'm going under.
Really?
Yeah. Don't I have under? Yeah, I have under. Man, no, see, made me second guess myself.
No faith, man. I mean,
no, I think that. So 1.5, that's 2 turnovers. I think we get 1 turnover. That's fair. That's a good game.
Is it? All right. No, I agree with you. I think we get under as well. After I was just trying to bash you.
DK's over there with the over.
Hey, he thinks our defense.
Geno Stone, Mr. Negative Length, getting an interception.
Dude, are you bashing on our defense right now?
No, I'm not. But Marcus Williams ain't out there.
That's true. That's true. But Ajabo's out there, dude. That strip sack is out there.
Hey, he'll
and
give
what
me
happened
one.
Last time he played Joey Burrow and the Bungles?
That's
all
true.
Right. Strip That's sack.
True. Yeah. But right. I think we can still, we don't need, it doesn't need to be a turnover heavy game for us to win.
Now, let me ask you this. And I have to ask the rules expert and creator of this doc, DK, do we count turnover on downs?
No.
Officially, I believe it goes in the turnover category. I believe so. I believe it goes in the turnover category. But I can double check on that actually, because you can see if the Bengals had any fourth downs. Because I don't think they had any turnovers. If you look at their, let me see here, fourth down they went 0-for-1, and they're listed with 0 turnovers. Okay, so that does not count. So turnover on downs literally says turnover, and yet it's not a turnover. Okay, all right, fair enough.
The English language doesn't have enough words. It's just that simple.
Damn it. We got to make some up. Well, Beyonce made up Bootylicious, so there's still hope.
I got one French.
What is that?
No idea. It's a new word, but we can say it. That's what I'm saying. It's just making something. Got a new one. There's one.
French.
There
Where did French come from, dude?
No idea. I'm just saying, you can make up words all the time. All
right.
You know, Shakespeare made up eyeball, elbow. He made up over 100 words.
He made up elbow?
Elbow, eyeball. Yep, those are two that I know, but he made up over 100 words in the English dictionary. Yep.
Shout out, man. All right, French.
French, dude.
I like it. I like it.
All right. That's a turnover on down is a French.
Dude, let's start it, man. You never know. It could start today.
Catch on, man.
Branch. Holy. All right. Last over under on defense. Bengals sack yards lost. So how many yards will the Ravens sack Joey B for? How many yards will they lose? He puts it at 20.5 over under. Last week, the Ravens. So let me get this right. Oh, I guess they had some really long sacks on Stroud. Mm-hmm. They forced negative 46 yards in sack yardage last week against CJ Stroud and the Texans. He puts it just 20.5 this one, Jimbo. Only 20.5. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going under.
What?
I'm going under because Stroud just made some rookie mistakes, man. Like that, those long sacks were, I don't think Joe Burrow makes those mistakes.
But he's got it less than half of that total last week. 46 was last week. He's saying less than half.
Yeah. Nah, I just don't see it.
Has no faith in your boys. Well, I do, guys. I think Ajabo, Owe, Clowney will easily surpass that 20.5 total. And I can see DK agrees with you. And this is where I win.
Okay. Okay.
Right here. Right here.
All right. The last one. The last one. That would be an awesome victory if it came to pass.
Well, all right. I can see you're rooting for me, too. Not only is all of the chat rooting for me, but now you're even rooting for me. Wow, how the tables turned.
Wait, how am I rooting for you?
I felt like you were. I'll be honest. You know, it felt like you were.
Sorry, I'm secure in my victory, so I can root for you.
Thank you.
I like a good challenge.
I won't root for you, but I appreciate you rooting for me. Let's get into the first tiebreaker here. And as always, it is our total score over under. DK sets it this week at 46.5 total points. What do you think, Jimbo? Over or under?
Oh, gosh. Wait, I just did my math completely wrong.
Hold on. Hold on. I wish we could put that on the screen.
I had it right the first time, and then I changed it. And then I was like, what the heck? I just did my math totally wrong.
Big-ass score to be under.
Yeah, no, I'm going over. 34-31, the Baltimore Ravens win. I think it's a pretty high-scoring game. I'm going over.
All right. I think
JT smashes one at the end of the game, and that's how we win it.
Yeah, I'm going to say over as well. I think barely, though. I think this is going to be a pretty tough game. I think it's a close game. I think it's going to be high 20s on both sides of the ball. I didn't put down an official score total, but if I had to, I'd say 27-24 Ravens. All right, Jimbo, or DK. Says under. So this could be right there, Jimbo. You see that? How we say over?
It's not going to get to there.
And he goes under? That's where he does it. Right there.
And that's where he gets his win?
Dude, what? Mark my words. You know, you got to watch DK, dude. You know? You got to watch him. He's sneaky.
He is sneaky.
You know what I'm saying? Second tiebreaker. Let's get right into it.
Yep.
Closest to the pin in yards prediction. Now, let's admit, Jimbo. We were all off last week. Holy, we came in thinking these guys are going to hit the ground running, and they fell flat on their face.
Yep.
So I think we've had we've reset our expectations, and I think it's reflected here. DK's prediction is 305 total yards, and that's the lowest prediction on the totals here. I got it at 315, a little bit. And I was going to put 310, but I thought it was too rude to put it that close to DK and trump him. So I didn't do it. You're welcome, DK. I added 5 whole yards to it and put it at 315 because I'm feeling generous. And Jimmy, most confident, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have the highest scoring game as well, right? So it makes sense that I have the highest yards. That's at 355. I think we get some serious chunk plays this game that bump up these yards, and I think the run game looks healthy. So I think Mark helps this significantly. I think Bateman's continued journey back improves. I think OBJ gets more shots down the field.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I would love to see our offense go for more. That first week was just stop and start. It was like they were sitting in a backup, you know, that they could get up to speed right when you got to 55, boom, you had to slow back down. The traffic is congested again. And a 3-and-out came. Oh, by the way, I was riding on 95. It was crazy. 95 in the morning and cruising. I see way up ahead saying the fast lane is closed. Big arrow. They're putting cones out. This guy, I don't know if he was on his phone. Just did not slow down. Stayed right in that fast lane and boom, hit that big truck with the big old fat butt on it. Looks like a bumblebee, Heine.
Oh.
Sent him from the fast lane all the way in front of me, right across in front of me, smashing the guardrail past the slow lane. I had to do some evasive maneuvers around all the debris that was then all across the highway there. But luckily, I was good. Adrenaline pumping a little bit, but I made it through. I was like, how was he not paying? It's a big, it was crazy. Dude, boom! Like, he wasn't looking at all, dude. It was insane.
Gosh.
But yeah, it's scary. Scary stuff.
I'm glad you're all right. Hopefully he's all right, too.
Yeah, he looked fine, by the way, after, as I was cruising by. I saw he was at least conscious and not bleeding from his face at all anywhere I could see.
Good.
So
good.
Yeah.
With that said, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah, it was kind of
drive safely.
Yeah, it was kind
of stay off your phones.
Yes, look ahead while you're driving.
Yeah,
not
look
down.
Straight forward. That's right. And watch the Ravens game and enjoy it. And return here after the show or after the game, after the spectacle on Sunday. We will be here to break it down.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
It for us tonight, folks.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back here. I think we're going to be seeing the Pussycats taking a loss this weekend, and their fan base will be down in the dumps, and I can't wait. I'll be here for it. We can celebrate together. So don't forget, come here right after the game, 4 o'clock. See me and Jimbo and DK.